All righty. So your mic is open, Pastor Barnett, if you wish to say anything, or I could start with a song.
All right. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful Monday evening. We pray that your day has gone well. And if not, by the end of the program, we hope to have encouraged you, to build you up in your most holy faith, and to give you something to press on to see what the end going to be. At this time, we're going to play some songs and commercials, and we'll be right back with you. God bless.
Out for me when I think of every up and down I've seen a lot of friends come to an end.
Amen.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Amen. Do you value God's choice enough to wait? In this world where some things you can have it right now, a lot of times we don't understand the benefit are truly waiting. But think of this. If you was making a cake or baking a cake, there's a process of assimilating the ingredients together. I mean, bringing them together, cutting them up in the right sequence of mixing them, pouring them into a bowl, placing them into a preheated oven, and allowing it the time for it to bake within that oven and bake all the way. That is a process. And many times in life, life for us is a process. We all started as infants, and we had to learn how to crawl. We had to learn how to walk. We had to learn how to run. And then we had to learn how to work and do other things as well.
Amen.
Hello, I'm Missionary Ken.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things. But they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan, to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church.
Amen. I apologize for my interruption there. I lost connection. Missionary can't go ahead with about two more songs. And those are...
into this building, you brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the same. So you tell me, you've been to your position, look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind, oh, your body and your soul. Oh, yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah. And he can mend a broken
man. He can mend your broken head.
He has
a miracle to fix your need.
Won't you trust?
Won't you trust him?
Oh, then you will receive. About the situation, but with every test, it's every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to feed
I know.
Well, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Today is a wonderful day to give God glory and praise. On this program, I often like to do testimony service to give somebody an opportunity to tell of the goodness of Jesus in their lives. One of the things I believe we as believers ought to do, we ought to be guilty of telling of the goodness of God in our lives. The things that Jesus and Jesus alone have done for us. People need to hear that we go through the same circumstances in life as they go through, except for we don't go through it alone. We go through it with our Lord and Savior, who is able to do all things but fail. And so we should be found testifying of how God brought us through something, what God has done for us, how he has saved us, how he has delivered us. We ought to be guilty of spreading that good news of what he did for us. It's good for us to resound the words from the Bible and the things that has happened in Scripture. But what is convincing to many is when they can lay eyes on you, and especially those that knew you aforetime, and they hear you say, God did it. Amen. So at this moment, I want to open up the mics to give anyone that would like an opportunity to testify this opportunity. All right. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify while I have a chance. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I may not have a chance anymore. Testimony service is now open. Somebody give God some glory for the things he alone has done in your life.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for being my Savior and being my Lord, and he has always been good, and that's all I can say. I mean, how else can I put it? I mean, he's always been there when I needed him, when I asked. I mean, I may not get everything I want, but he always supplies all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to know. Good to know. Anyone else? Anyone else? I heard somebody, but.
Hello, this is Sister Lila. Hi, Bernadette, hey. Pastor Bonnet.
Hi, how you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice too, Pastor Bonnet. I like to praise the Lord for being there in my life when I needed him the most. And I like to thank him for the loved ones that he put in my life, and even the people that have gone to heaven that are watching over me as we speak. And people that are going to continue helping me out with my issues, really.
Amen.
Like Sister Emily and Father Kenny.
Good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, that's a good thing to always have someone that will pray for you, pray with you, and assist you in other areas that need assisting too. We all need someone to talk to from time to time. And so in a day and time where it seems that if mental illness is on the rise, let us not be afraid to talk with our brother or our sister in Christ about conditions or circumstances that we may be having problem working it out in our mind. Because they are there. The Bible said, let the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. And so when we are strong not because of our doing, but because of God in us. And there may come a time where we are weak and we're going to need someone to lean on, someone to have an ear to hear what we're thinking, what we're going through, and to help us process some of the things in life. So let us not be afraid, and let us not betray the trust of that when somebody chooses to share their pain with us and their trouble. Let us be prayerful. Let us be mindful that that's a very serious matter. And it may seem simple to you, but it's a challenge for them. And let's respect one another enough to help one another, irregardless to how we may feel about it individually. Amen. Anybody else have a testimony you'd like to share, a praise report, something God has done for you at this time?
And Pastor Bonnet.
Go right ahead.
I do have a really important thing I wanted to ask you guys. It's more like if you'll do a prayer request.
Okay, come on with it.
I still have a problem with like a light rash. So can you guys keep me in prayer on that?
Okay.
Because I called in earlier last week and asked you guys to keep me in prayer on that.
Okay, well, we're praying for healing in your body.
On that, really.
Okay.
So thank you, and I appreciate all that's going out for me.
Amen. I think I read up on it. Set it up on it. Sometimes people get this what's called chronic hives, where their body breaks out in these sort of blisters in different spots of their body. There are several things that can contribute to this. One of the things that I read on it is that typically when this event happened, these are called chronic hives when they begin to break out all over your body in different areas. It can last up to 6 weeks on average. If it lasts longer than that, there could be other ailments involved. They ask you to take a journal of your eating habits and your environment so that you will know whether or not what is causing your chronic hive, because it could be multiple things and not just one thing. You could be allergic to shellfish, so you have to be mindful of seafood that you're eating. You can have a peanut allergy, and that could be causing it. You can even have what's called a pet allergy, where the danger from the pet, your domestic animals, could be causing your hive. A change in temperature, be it cold or hot, can cause chronic hive. And also a heavy level of stress and not receiving the proper amount of rest. These things can cause chronic hives. And if you find yourself where you're breaking out and and seems uncontrollable. And these blisters can hurt, they can itch, and they can spray it. And usually over-the-counter tropical oatmeal, the oatmeal lotion, lotion with aloe in it, these things can help soothe it. Calamine lotion, all those things can help soothe it. But having the oatmeal bath,
Pastor Bunn, I did have one important question to ask you though about that particular this particular topic. Can cocoa butter help? Cocoa butter lotion help?
The cocoa butter may help some, unless it's a peanut allergy, then that cocoa butter could actually cause it to spread. So, so that's the point of having the journal, kind of keeping track of what's going on with you and your environment and your emotional state. If you're under a lot of stress and you're not getting enough rest, that will be the first step to make sure that you get a proper night rest, and that you would do all that you can to reduce the level of negativity that you allow to come from you. There's not a whole lot that you can do about stuff coming at you, but it is some things that you can do and practice for keeping negativity from coming from you. Just because things are bad don't mean you have to respond to them negatively. You can look for the brighter side of things. You can be thankful that they're not as bad as they could be. And you can do things of that nature to help put your mind frame in a thankful mode. And the Bible said, in all things give thanks unto God. And if we're not thanking God for all things, but we're thanking God in all things. And that's a difference.
And another thing, Pastor Biden, you know stuff like this, right? In certain ways, right?
Yes, I try to.
Because I could give somewhat of a description of what the spots are. More of red spots, not like actual blisters. They're more of like red spots that are appearing. And and I noticed by looking at the particular spots that they're in that they're going away. And I showed my nurse today about it. She's like, oh, you still got them, but you can barely see them.
We're still having to keep
an eye on it. I'm like, how in the heck can I still have them when I can't even see them, really?
Yeah, but I'm glad you said, mentioned your nurse. Also, with everything that I said, you want to utilize that journal as you talk to your medical provider, someone that's helping you in the medical field with your overall health. You want to be able to communicate these things to them so that they can help you with solutions to help alleviate any type of blisters, redness, or any type of rosacea, these outbreaks, whether they be chronic hives or otherwise. It's just good to make sure you are aware of the things that may be causing it, so that when you have your appointment, at times you have your discussion with your health providers, you're able to communicate that with them so that your overall health can be made better. And so it's a process. Again, life is a process. This is also one of those things that you have to have patience with and it'll clear up. I broke out last week. I broke out pretty bad. I ended up leaving the job early, and I didn't work that day at all. On my personal business, I didn't do it that day because I was blistered in many areas, and because the temperature was extremely hot, it was making it worse. I actually came home and took a good bath, and I took all my sponges that I washed with, and I took a little bit of bleach and soap and the body soap and dipped all of them in there so that bleach would cleanse them. And the areas that I could reach, I really just rub those areas real good, lather those areas as good as possible until the itching feeling went away. And as I did that, I found that the areas that I treated with that a little bleach, not too much, diluted with water and soap, those things that I did, those areas didn't blister, and that those blisters all started clearing up. And I ensured that I didn't rest the rest of that day, and I took that following night off and didn't do anything. And because I got that rest, I was most of the blisters, about 80% of them, or maybe a little bit more, had gone away. The only ones that I had was the ones I really couldn't reach in my back. And as I got rest over the weekend, even those went away on their own. And so sometimes stress and not having the proper amount of sleep can, what the article told me, sometimes your body goes through a trauma, and the blisters are a result of your body going through a particular trauma. And that trauma can be triggered by several different things, which I had already previously mentioned. And so that we just have to be mindful of those things. Missionary Ken, I heard you about to say something. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah. Well, speaking of mowers and being on the job today, because tomorrow we have an inspection, and it's an outdoor inspection from our housing, and we were trying to get the grass cut. And unfortunately, just as we were getting started on the back lawn there, the handle on our lawnmower, it busted.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But thank God nobody got hurt. And, well, you know, because with the motor running on the thing, I mean, easily somebody, you know, Emily's foot could have slipped up under the motor and under the lawnmower deck and stuff when that thing busted. But mm. Nothing like that happened. It just, the handle just totally broke. So,
amen.
Well, thank God she didn't get hurt. I had a flat tire on my zero turn that kind of hindered me to doing some things I got to get fixed. But, man, I took it as a sign as God telling me to get to make sure I get my rest, because I press on, I keep on going, I ignore the heat.
What that was telling you is you need to get retired.
That's funny. Retired.
Yeah, I have retired.
And if you think that's funny, here's a you love football, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, think about this. They have for football. They have the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
And they had the Rose Bowl and the Sugar
yeah.
Bowl. But they're missing
yeah.
two. There's
uh-oh.
Two they're missing.
What two of those?
The Tidy Bowl and the Salad Bowl.
Well, I can see the Salad Bowl. But the Tidy Bowl, you know, leave that in the restroom.
The reason they don't have the Tidy Bowl is because no one would play in it. And the salad bowl, they've already got two teams playing that have been for a long time. Guess who those two teams are?
What two teams are those?
Lettuce and cabbage.
Lettuce and cabbage. Guess who's ahead?
Both.
Yeah, they are both ahead.
I got a question for both you, Pastor Bunny, and Missionary Wolfgang. I don't know if the both of you would be able to answer it. What are the signs of monkeypox?
That I do not know. I haven't read up on it, so I cannot answer that one.
Oh, that's easy. You start swinging from trees and eating bananas.
LOL, Missionary Wolfgang. The reason why I was asking that question is because my staff on my unit keeps saying I got him.
Well,
and I'm like,
no,
I don't think I've been swinging from tree to tree.
No one should be
bananas.
No one should be saying that, because isn't that one of the different variants of the coronavirus? These things that came out here recently, so we got to be careful about making accusations, because you can cause other people to be unnecessarily eerie of other people. Although the vaccinations have proven to help save lives, the pandemic is still very real. People do still come down with certain variants of the coronavirus. They're just not dying from it now in many cases, or most cases, which is a blessing. We still have to be mindful that we don't forget the very basic things, even before the coronavirus had came out, and that was, instead of sneezing in your hand, sneeze in your elbow. Because your hands touch so many stuff. And if you are asymptomatic, you can be spreading diseases and not aware of it. So be mindful. Excuse me. And if you have to go out in public and you feel a little under the weather, you definitely want to make sure that you mask up. So that you don't inadvertently spread through sneezing or coughing, spread any particular disease. And that goes along with the common cold or the flu. These diseases are cold. These are still very serious matters as well. You don't hear about it as often, but people still die from the flu. And so people still get very sick from the common cold in rare cases. People still get pneumonia. And so we want just to be careful while we can. Wash our hands on a regular basis. If you have it, keep it with you. Hand sanitizer. Use it from time to time to ensure that, especially if you're a person that naturally, some people just kind of rub their nose from time to time. It's kind of more of a habit than necessary, something necessary. So we want to be mindful that of what we're doing, when we're doing it. Try not to be put your hands in your eyes and face, because you don't know what surfaces you had touched. And if you see yourself doing that, hand sanitize your hands so that you're not inadvertently putting germs, unnecessary germs, in your eyes and face. So we just have to be careful, do our part of being diligent, and we leave the rest to the good Lord.
Pastor Bonnet, we got area code 216527 is on the line, as well as Princess Nikhil may have a testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, anyone else would like to have an opportunity to give their testimony or comment? We were just talking about some good health conscious things. Talking about earlier, we talked about chronic hives, getting the proper rest, so on and so forth. God bless you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hi, Brother Six.
Lila Onion, is that you?
Yes, it is, Brother Six.
How are you? Pastor Bonnet, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. Good to hear your voice on this wonderful Monday evening. We know that the good Lord has smiled upon you. Your name has made the woke list. This is not a recording. So
oh,
we
yeah.
know you're doing very well.
Yeah, I'm live here on Motivational Monday with Pastor Bonnet, which you can catch every Monday, 8 Central, 9 Pacific, and 6. Excuse me, let's try this again. That's 8 Central, 9 Eastern, and 6 Pacific. Yes, Motivational Monday. Yes.
If you say so.
Yes.
Amen.
And the world,
that is,
the world said so.
There you go. There you go. With the help of the good Lord, we shall be here.
Yes.
Later on in the program, after the next song, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. And we want that to be an interaction conversation about faith. We're going to read a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to see how do we measure up today in the areas of faith. So join the conversation.
All right. All right. You heard it. Press that one if you're on the line.
You gotta hear before it happens, believe before it happens, receive before it happens. You got to know it's gonna happen, it won't be. But God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see, but God said this one's on me. But God said, sometimes it's hard to see, but oh God said, hold me, gonna happen. Oh, that's the way.
Thank you, Jacqueline Carr. Amen. She said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Going to happen. How do you know it's going to happen? How do you know? Well, the answer is simple. It's called faith. When you trust and believe that God is able to do, it's going to happen. She made a statement of faith. Faith is the assurance and belief and trust and confidence that something will happen. And so, do you have faith? I want to look at two particular scriptures of passages in the Bible. Those of you that have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11 and Romans chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 11. We know that Hebrews chapter 11 deals with faith all the way through, and so do Romans chapter 4. But let's look at how these two particular writings correlate together. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's a key verse for us that gives us the understanding of what it means to have faith right now. Faith right now is a hope in something, and even though the evidence of it hasn't revealed itself yet, that your trust in it is unwavering. And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I believe before I gave an illustration about going to a bus stop where there was a sign that signified to you that the number 12 bus was coming by. What is not on the sign is the time in which come. But because there's a sign that the number 12 comes that way, you have faith to know that because of the sign, you trust it. And even though you don't see the bus yet, you wait on it. And faith for us is understanding that life will show us certain signs of the direction God wants us to go in, the things that God wants us to go after. And we, as individuals, have to have faith in God's word, in God's plan, to know that in due season that what we are hoping for shall come to pass. So we wait on it. We wait patiently, but we don't wait in vain. In other words, we don't wait as to not do anything, but we are working while we wait. You know, most good waiters or waitresses, while they're waiting on you, they may also be waiting on another table. And so when they come to see what you need and you're not ready yet, they say, I'll be back. And they go and tend to someone else and they look for signs that indicate that you may be ready. When they bring out your water, your drink, and they see your drink level getting about half full, then they simply come and fill it back up to the rim so that you may continue to enjoy your drink without interruption. They were attentive in their waiting. And so must we while we wait on the things of God and the changes that God has promised for us. We must wait patiently and with anticipation of what God has said. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now let's jump back over before we jump too far into Hebrews, over to Romans chapter 4. But we go back to Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verse 1. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? What did he find? Did he find works, or did he find faith, which offered him grace? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had wherefore to glory, but not before God. In other words, it was not the works of Abraham that caused God to bless him. It was not the works of Abraham that caused God to enter into a covenant with him. But it was by faith. So without the works itself, it was the faith that proved the work. And for those that may not know the story of Abraham, allow me just to give you the prelude to the beginning of it. Abraham had lived with his father's house under his father's rule of company of people, hired hands, and so on. And so under his father's rule, he did things the way they did things. But one day God spoke to Abraham and said, get you out of your father's house and go to a place I shall show you. And the strange thing about this is we listen to this conversation and think that it happened at an early stage. We think that Abraham was maybe a young man in his 20s, but that is far from the case. In fact, at the time that Abraham was told to get out of his father's house, he was in his 70s. That's right. So he was already an old man himself. And so that means he had had much time in his father's rule. But for whatever reason, and we can go into it, but that's not purposeful in this conversation, God wanted to establish something because the life of Abraham had to be different from the life of his father and those in his father's house. So Abraham took his nephew Lot, he also took his father. Many people didn't see that in the scripture, but his father was old, and he took his father along with him. And he took them and the hired servants of his home within his father's home. And he took them and they moved away from that whole company or that whole city or that whole village of people. So that group of people he completely separated from, and he did it because God said so. That is what was accounted to him as righteousness. It was imputed to him as righteous, not that all his deeds was absolutely right, because as we look through the story of Abraham, we saw that he tells a lie. He tells a lie out of fear, and that's not right. But that is not why God gave him a description of righteousness. God gave him a description of righteousness because he believed God. What will make you and I righteous today is not, quote unquote, our deeds. And they do matter now. But what makes us righteous is whether or not we agree with Almighty God. So if God said it, if I am to be righteous, I can't disagree with it. And this is the message that to the world, because the world think it's okay to live our alternative lifestyle, when God's word have already declared not so. So when you say it's okay, you don't agree with God. So by the sheer definition of what we're talking about, that makes you unrighteous. It's not what God said. And there's no revision to it anywhere, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And therefore, for me to not resound what he said is for me not to walk in righteousness. Faith is taking God at his word. If he said it, that's satisfying. Let me go and read the rest of the verse. Again, we're in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, verse 2 now. For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And I just did that whole illustration. So because Abraham at an old age heard God say leave, and he left, that was counted to him as righteousness. Okay, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now let me look this up in the New Living for you. I just want to make sure for our listeners that may sometime get thrown off from the King James reading and the way it's written. I want to read that same scripture to you in the New Living translation, starting there at verse 3. Again, for the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Verse 4. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but some nothing but something they have earned. That's what that scripture means in verse 4. So it says, not to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoning of grace, but of debt. So another way to put that text so that you may understand what it means, when people work for their wages are not a gift. So if you're working towards something, it's not a gift. See, God gave us a gift in Jesus Christ. We didn't work for it. We couldn't earn it. It was a gift. Okay? So verse 4 again, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Verse 5, but people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. He forgives sinners. I once was a sinner. Forgave me. So I no longer have to be a sinner. Amen. Somebody. And so it's very clear, it's very important for us to understand this concept so that we don't allow the past failures of yesterday hinder us from enjoying the grace of God today. Verse 5, one more time, and we're going to go on to 6. But people are counted as righteousness, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Verse 6, David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. So there's a proverb, there's a song for that. Blessed the man, and we see that, we'll read that in just a minute. Oh, what joy of those who disobedient is forgiven, whose sins are not put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Now, King James says, saying, blessing are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sin are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The very same verse. So, yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared of sin. That's good news for us, because sometimes we make mistakes, and the guilt of those mistakes can haunt us. But when you know that it's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, when you know that God has forgiven you, you're not bound by it. Although you may seek to try to resolve it, to bring resolution, because we should get things right when we can, but you're not bound by it, and you're not condemned by it anymore in your own heart, because it was more of an incident than something deliberate. And so being that it was an incident, you ask for that forgiveness and you move forward, because you're not bound by the laws of sin, but you're operating under grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You're operating in grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's a combination. One don't work without the other. Amen. And so let me continue to read here, verse 9 from the New Living. Now is this blessing, so now is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for the uncircumcised Gentiles? So he asked the question, is this blessing only for the chosen, or is it for the rest of us? Thanks be to God, it is for all of us. So you can say the rest of us, but it's just simply all of us. This blessing of redemption is for all of us. This grace is made available for everyone. Amen. Not just a chosen few. And you will find those today that will argue this point, making a division in the heart of God when there's not. 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his son. It's not that God so loved his chosen people. It's not that God so loved this group, that group. God so loved men more than women, or women more than men. None of that foolishness. It is he loved the world. And why is that? It's because he created us. So he loves us. And the Bible says he commanded his love towards us. So believe it or not, he don't have a choice. He's already commanded himself to love us. And that's why I can say to you that the statement that the heart won't what the heart won't, that's foolishness. That's built on a seed of lust. In a day and time where marriages was arranged, the scripture was written, husband, love your wife. So the husband was commanded to love his wife. So irregardless to how he and her got together, the scripture says for him to love her as Christ loved the church, that as Christ gave his life for the church, so shall the love of the husband be towards his wife. And that's what we have to understand. And we move on. It said it, that settles it. If I want to operate in righteousness, I cannot disagree with what it says. That's what it says. Whether we like it or not. Whether we agree, understand, none of that matters. Husbands, our job is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Yeah, she get on your nerves. That's all right. I'm quite sure that our disobedience, our hang-ups, our hiccups, and everything else we got that's wrong with us gets on the nerve of Christ, gets on the nerve of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible even tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're some grievous people. I know you don't like that. But some of us, it's funny acting. Let's go and tell the truth on ourselves. Sometimes we do stuff, we think to ourselves, I don't know why I did that. Ooh-wee. And we know if somebody would have did us like what we just did, we would have, ooh-wee. We'd have some words, we'd have some action, we'd have said some stuff. Every now and then we have that, sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. Sometimes we have that almond joy type of feeling where we just feel a certain way and we operate in that feeling. And truth of the matter is we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. And usually our feelings are surrounded by what we see. What we feel is what we see. So we have to be careful with that. We have to be very careful with that. Now, I said a lot already. I think all the lines are still open. Is there a comment that before I go on any further, and I know we're getting close to the end here, before I go on any further, I got about two or three more scriptures to read. Is there one? Press the one, and we'll open up your mic. Is there one? There's a question on the table concerning what we have read already about faith. Amen. And
no, I like that, Pastor Bonnet. You were telling it pretty good there, especially about the point that you made about Abraham being 70 years old and leaving his household and knowing that later he being asked to give his son on the altar, his faith being tested by his works. That was a pretty good point.
Amen, amen. Yeah, he was actually 75. You know, we sometimes we're asking God, when, Lord, when I'm going to come into my own, when I'm going to have my own, when I'm going to be established, when this, when that. And here it is, Abraham was 75. And even then, things did not come to full fruition for him. It was only after the death of his father and the separation of his nephew did he really start walking in the pouring of the blessings of God for his life. It was only after that point he had went and made a bad decision, he and his wife, to allow someone to stand in as a surrogate, to help them produce a child, believing that the problem was within them and maybe God just meant some other kind of way. And that's what happened when we go to try to figure God out and we think we can help God. And he created a problem. That problem is so big that it still exists today. That very same problem still exists today. Another major religion is built on that first seed, on that seed, because of them not doing it the way God said. And that's a very good point to make, that it's important that when God say he's going to bless you, he mean that. And when you go to try to incorporate other people into that blessing, you might be causing problems down the road that wasn't meant for. And so, but thanks be to God that the blessing of Abraham, the covenant, had happened long before that because he obeyed God and moved. And he left. He did not stay. He moved. And so that lets me know that hear God today and obey him today and still make a mistake tomorrow. That's what that lets me know. But it also lets me know that God will cover me because God covered him. And God reassured him, no, the promise that I made for you, but for you and your wife. I made it to you, and the two are one. So I made it to the both of you. I didn't make it just for you. And so, and God came back, and Abram is 99, and the angels come, and they tell him, say, listen, this time next year, you're going to have a, Sarah's going to have a son. So I say, I'm about to be 90. How am I have a child? I laugh, and I start tripping. And I know sometimes we can get to a point in life we think it's over. But I want to let you know how much of a blessing this is. Not only Sarah died at, if memory serves me correctly, Sarah was 126 when she died. So that means she had 36 years to enjoy the baby that God gave her. Abram died at 170-something. So Abraham not only lived to see that child, but he produced the other children, because after his wife died, he married and had other children. And he saw his grandchildren. God know how to give you a fuller life than you can imagine. So Abram lived a right old age, because he believed God. And God counted it to him for righteousness. That means there's decisions in our life that we come to. These are crossroads. There are points in our life where the Holy Spirit will speak to us and tell us to do something, and to tell us on what to do and how to do. And it's that moment where we need now faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because Abraham didn't see how he was going to be a great nation. A nation involves people. Everybody in his house was hired servants. He even said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to have to pass the inheritance to this servant. He said, no, you're not. I said, I'm going to give you a child. I said, if you can count the stars, the sand, if you can number them on the shoreline in the sky, you'll be able to count how many children you're going to have throughout the world. See, the blessing of Abraham supersede a nation. It blessed the world, because through his line, through his lineage, came Christ. And because Christ came, we all benefited from his birth, his death, and his resurrection. That's why on the cross he said, it's finished. Y'all ain't got to worry about a bucket list no more. You ain't got to worry about a list of rules, trying to do this, trying to do that. I did it. It's done. I looked into the cuss. I saw the list. I crossed everything off. It's all done. I fulfilled all prophecies that said how I was going to come and how I was going to die, what names they should call me, what they should do to me, how they should reject me. I fulfilled it all. I paid the price. And so part of our faith is hung up on that concept alone, believing he paid it all. Not so. A lot of times we get hung up on trying to having guilt and trying to fix things that we can't fix. And we think that God is punishing us for this or that. Now, I'm not saying that God won't punish you for this or that. Don't get it twisted. God is our daddy. And because he's a good daddy, he know how to chastise us when we need it. But believe it, when he chastises us, we know it. Because he don't chastise us without us knowing it. I'm the type of man that believes that chastisement is still needed today. Whoopings still are needed. But any whooping that does not, that comes and did not proceed with it, the why, and the understanding of the why, that's abuse. Even if it's just a tap. I got news for you. If you put a child in timeout and they don't know why they're in timeout, that's abuse. Yeah. Because how can you punish me for something I do not understand? Still don't understand. So we have a gracious God that should we do be punished, the warning was already given. The instruction had already came. Because that the information was already given, he must do what he say he's going to do. Because a good parent, if they say they're going to chastise you, if you do this again or that again, and they don't, that too is another form of abuse. That deals with neglect and lying. It's our job to let our yes be yes and our no be no. It's our job to cultivate greatness out of our children. It's our job to speak hope and life into our children. And if we, as the Bible says, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us, not any gift, but the Holy Spirit? So that supersedes diamonds, golds, platinum, fame, fortune. How much will he give us the Holy Spirit that acts, not beg, not plead, not bribe, not negotiate, that acts, type of God that we serve, one that loves us, one that cares for us, and one that wants us to grow and develop. Amen, somebody. Now, we still was reading Romans 4. I think we're at verse 9, 10, and 11. I think we're going to read those. And 9, 10, 11, and 12, we're going to read that and be done. We read 9 already. Now, is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? That's the question. How did this happen? Was he counted as righteous after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? The circumcision of Abraham was a part of the covenant agreement But we had just been discussing that Abraham was counted as righteousness simply because he believed God and left his father's house. So it was before the circumcision. Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith. So to be circumcised wasn't a sign of getting ready to have faith. It was that you already had it. So for him, he had already had it. So circumcision, verse 11 again, circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. Verse 12, and Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Wow. So Abraham is our true father of faith. So whether we're circumcised or uncircumcised, that speaks for the men. Unless we're talking about the circumcision of the heart, and that's the cutting off of the flesh. That's a whole nother teaching in that. Abraham is our spiritual father, but only if we have faith like he had, that we believe what God said. God has called you blessed. Do you believe it? God has said that you shall be the head and not the tail, the lender, not the borrower, above only, not beneath. God's word has spoken so many things for us as believers. The question is, do we truly believe? Because if I'm going to have the title of believer, then I must first believe. And if I believe, that means I must have faith in what he says. Period. I hope you enjoyed the lesson on faith today. There's much more to it. We can go further and deeper. There's always deeper concept of faith, because we can go back to the book of Hebrews there and read. Hebrews would be our hall of faith. It would talk to us about faith. For the elders obtained it by a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed and the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things that do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified to it. It's amazing about the gift. And we can get some further into this. This particular verse right here, we tied back to yesterday's verse, what we were dealing with, talking about the shepherds and everything. I would be a whole another hour talking. So I think it's best for me to pause right here at this particular point. And once again, I want to give anyone an opportunity to ask any questions, make any statements concerning faith. And thank you for being on the program this evening. And thank you for those that have already commented. And if you have any comment, I welcome it at this time.
This is Six Eyes. Definitely a great message. I encourage everybody to perhaps download this show before you go to bed. Listen to it before you go to bed if you can't sleep, or listen to it while you listen to it on lunch. And for those who are going to download it later on, you can have Motivation and Money with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet on a Thursday if you want, on a Sunday. Just download in the search for iHeartRadio and Apple Music. In the search, type in Six Eyes Radio, press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. Just the whole thing as faith, having faith, no matter what you do, have it, but keep it consistent. Every day as you breathe, you have faith. You can't. If you worry, you have no faith. If you have faith, you don't worry. So great message. Thank you.
Thank you. I like the way you said that, too, about worrying. Amen. I like that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I know it's not a particular gospel song, but I think it's really still a song that everyone should really take heed to, because don't worry, be happy. That's a choice. If I had it on the board, Six, I'd play it right now, I tell you. We have to take that type of approach with our life, that we make conscious decision to be happy, because God wants us to be happy. God do not want his children to be sad. What parent want their child to be sad?
Amen.
We are God's children. Amen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was thinking about that. You were talking about, and it's also in Jacqueline Carr's song, talking about we're the head and not the tail,
uh-huh,
that you were talking about. That comes out of Deuteronomy 28, and a lot of people miss this point, that the first 14 verses talk about us being the head and not the tail, but there's 68 verses in Deuteronomy 28, and what that chapter tells us, if we obey him, in the first 14 verses, he said the blessing would be upon us and we would be the head and not the tail. But from verse 15 down to 68, the rest of that chapter tells us if we do not obey his commandments, then we would be getting the curse and we would be the tail and not the head. So it's a big warning in that chapter.
Man, a very big woman. Thank you for bringing that point out. Man, it's amazing. 14 verses of blessing. And maybe one day we just need to read the whole chapter there. And because
don't worry, I was planning on that was one of those messages I told you I had in my pocket. I was planning on doing that chapter and letting it rip.
Man, I think we just need to let that come on through sometime very soon, because 14 verses that really blesses our lives. But then the rest of it, the other, you're looking at almost 50 verses that is, you know, that deals with cursing. That means three times more than the blessing. The cursing is three times more when you when you don't obey God, don't trust God, don't follow God, when you ignore the words of God, the law of God, and you wonder what's wrong with the world, well, read those verses. And when you see the world making decisions that's in that description, you're like, oh, he did say that. Oh, he did say this. And you'll see that we're seeing those curses unfold. And it's not what God has done, it's what man has released. Remember, death may have been created, but it wasn't released until Adam and Eve sinned. Because he said, in the day that you do, you should surely die. So death was already a element, but it wasn't released until they did what they shouldn't have done. And there's a lot of things that may be created in chaos, but it can't be released until we disobey the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the law of God. And that's the old saying, you know. The only thing it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And then I say, then do that really mean that you're good if you did nothing? Well, I hope you enjoyed our show tonight. Y'all continue to pray for me and my family. Let's pray for our nation as a whole. Wherever you are, pray for your nation. Amen. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your councilmen and women of your city, your towns. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our law enforcement. Let's pray for them that have rule over us. Why? Because we want them to be right. In order for them to do right, we need to be praying for them to hear from God and then follow what they heard. So let's pray for our nation as a whole. Let's remember those that are dealing with some type of mental illness or just confused in life. Let's not only pray for them, but let's take time to listen. You never know. You're listening today to someone may save their life tomorrow, because you listened today, they was able to fight another day instead of giving up and throwing in the towel. So let's be mindful of our family, our friends, our loved ones. Let's not overlook the signs of suicidal people talking about ending it all. People that start, you know, you got a family member that didn't give you stuff before, but all of a sudden they start giving away stuff before you accept it. Say, hey, what's going on? Can we talk? Let's recognize the signs of someone who's given up so that we can try to help them hold on a little bit longer. Amen. Once again, I love you with the love of Christ. I am praying for you and your family. It is our prayer that you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We believe it's just as simple as saying, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I am in need of a Savior. I admit that I've done wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me of all my wrongdoing. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Redeem me. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and you rose with all power, life and death in your hand. And I'm asking you to help me take control of my life so that I will avoid death. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And a prayer like that, that's meant from the heart, out of sincerity. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you will confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. So salvation is sure. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's yours. It's yours today. Hold on to it. Don't you ever let it go. Don't you ever renounce it. Hold on to it. No one can take it from you. It belongs to you. It is a gift from God. God bless you. God love you. Am I missing anything? Six Eyes, Princess Mikhail, Missionary Ken. Am I missing anything, anybody? All right. Well,
to give out the donation information here tonight.
All right. Go right ahead, Ken.
All right. For those of you who would like to keep shows like this on the air, remember, radio may be free for you to listen to, but it's not cheap for us. So we would appreciate your donation to help us keep shows like this on the air. And there are several ways you can help us to do that. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6eyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. If you wish to send a check or money order, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6eyes6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, just inform him you're wanting to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need the pay to and snail mail information to send your check or money order. Once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And if you wish to get this program or any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are several methods you can do to make that happen as well. First off, for you smartphone or tablet users, go to the podcast section of your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. Once it pops up there, then you just click subscribe, and we will be right there on demand 24/7. You can listen to Motivational Monday even on a Saturday. If you are an Apple or Android user, you will need to download the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, go into your iHeartRadio, enter Six Eyes Radio into the search box, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. It's up there. Click subscribe, and you will have on your Android or Apple device the Six Eyes Radio Network 24/7 on demand on your device. And, of course, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes and get all of our programming right there on the web. That's blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. Again, blogtalkradio. .com/S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, and you'll have all our programming. You can also Google Six Eyes Radio in your Google search and find all the places where we are located on the web. Amen.
Wow, that was a mouthful, and I'm glad you said it, not me. My tongue got tied up while you were saying it. God bless you. And to our listeners, we want to say thank you. We love you with the love of Christ. It is our desire that God will richly bless you and your family. We know the term and the word rich is relevant because some people, rich is not about money, but it's about the love connections that they have with their families and friends and their community. So we pray that God richly bless you and your community. We love you. Until next time, we want to say God bless you and God keep you. May you have traveling mercy to keep you as you travel abroad. God, be safe as possible and leave the rest in God's hand. We love you. God bless. Good night.